friendship.
We're glad you're here, and you know, I don't tire of that theme music. I love the message that God loves you. We're glad you're here. It's all about community, and even God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the reason they can love, and God is love, is because there was that community, that intimacy in the Godhead. It's kind of an interesting concept when you think about God being one, yet he's manifested himself into three kind of unique beings, if you will. I don't know. I'm getting out of my realm of being able to explain the unexplainable. But God is three, yet one, yet he is love, and he understands love, and he can love on us because love exists in the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just an amazing concept. Well, I'm certainly glad you're here, and I'm glad it's Friday, and I have a special guest to introduce to you in just a moment. He's the author of Change Agent, I think his 13th or 14th book. His name is Os Hillman, and before I talk about Os and read an excerpt from his book, I want to point out for those of you that are in the greater Champaign-Urbana area or want to head to downtown Champaign for an event on Neal Street, See You at Home is holding a special overnight where many city officials and notables will be sleeping in cardboard boxes. I don't know how well they're going to be able to sleep, but they're raising funds, and I guess after like 9 o'clock for every $100 that's donated toward these various city officials and notables and pastors, they'll sleep an additional hour or stay in that box for an additional hour. So that's happening tonight. I think it kicks off at around 5 p.m., realizing that this morning's program re-airs in the evening. I think it goes from like 5 to 9, and then they stay as long as there's enough funds to keep them in those cardboard boxes. So that's tonight in downtown Champaign on Neal Street near the City Building. Also tomorrow at Parkland College, there's a free event. And those of you that were tuned in a few weeks ago, I had Jennifer Guerin, who's a local playwright, actress, involved in drama, has taught at Judah Christian School. She's debuting a play where it's very interactive. After the presentation, there'll be a question and answer time, and she'll ask for you to be able to critique what you just witnessed and saw. It's a comedy set in Mercy Falls, Illinois, where three sisters, Faith, Hope, and Joy, are living together, and due to circumstances beyond their control, a variety of things happen that helps us all explore the importance of humanity and community. So that's tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Parkland College Theater on the Parkland College campus in West Champaign. Whether you're CEO, housewife, student, manager, or church leader, you have a circle of influence and the ability to shape your culture for God's purpose, to be a change agent. Well, I'm excited to share with you Os Hillman and his book that is recently out called Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to Be the One Who Makes a Difference. Os Hillman is the president of Marketplace Leaders, the author of 12 books. He writes a daily email devotional called TGIF, Today God is First, which has over 200,000 subscribers worldwide. He has been featured on CNBC and NBC, in the LA Times, the New York Times, and in other media as a spokesperson on faith and culture. Os attended the University of South Carolina and lives in the Atlanta metro area. Os Hillman explains the process God uses to raise up his change agents and culture, demonstrated in biblical leaders like David, Daniel, Esther, and Moses. With details from his own experience and profiles of modern-day change agents, Hillman shows how you, too, can have greater influence no matter what your age or status in life. Well, Os, as I just introduced you to our radio listening family, I find your book, Change Agent, fascinating, helpful, encouraging. It's been a blessing to me. It's one of those that I couldn't wait to go to sleep each night so I could read another couple chapters. I find your whole message and your theme about engaging people's passion to be the one who makes a difference. And you're all about equipping people to make a difference in their calling, to influence the realms of where they're at, where God has placed them. them. You're all about educating us on being a change agent. And I love the opening of your introduction. It says, deep in the heart of every human is a desire to make a difference in their world. They want to be change agents. Simply stated, a change agent is a person chosen to bring about change. Sometimes that desire is buried under insecurities, hardships, and wounds we have never recognized or faced. Well, I'm hoping that our radio listeners can stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes as you help us understand what a change agent is and how we can be those change agents. But first, give us a little of your background story and how God has led you to this point where you wrote this book.
Mark, thanks so much, and I appreciate being on with you and your great new family of listeners. And you know, like many change agents, I began like they did. I wasn't looking for the battle, wasn't looking for a fight. You know, I was sort of drafted into this thing that I'm doing. I had an ad agency for 12 years, but then had a crisis, had major financial losses and a breakdown in the family, and had a business that lost 80% of my business. And within 3 months, my life totally changed into a whole nother place after being quite successful. And that ushered me into a 7-year season. And it was during that season that I came full circle in understanding what God was trying to do in my life. And it birthed really what I do today. And it birthed, and you know, what I do with writing. I wasn't even really much of a writer at that time, and now 13 books later, here I am, and 25 nations later. And so often, as I talk about in the book, that many change agents are thrust into their larger story. They may be living a smaller story, but God thrust them in a larger story through some crisis event. You know, David with Goliath, Paul blinded on the road to Damascus, Martin Luther King, you know, struggling with his faith. All these people, you know, weren't looking for to be the change agent they ultimately became.
You cited some very famous people and people we'd recognize, but your book talks about how we all can be change agents.
Well, absolutely, you know, and I love some of the stories I have in the book, like Johnny, a 19-year-old Down syndrome grocery clerk who impacted his entire grocery store because of doing simple acts of service, or the servant girl who served Naaman, the general of Syria in the Old Testament, and he got healed because she recommended him go see Elisha. Just think about her stock went way up in that family. So we all can be change agents, you know, even a mother, you know, who is she raising up right now? She might be raising up Billy Graham or Martin Luther King, or you never know.
Now, growing up, did you have change agents, people that felt a calling on their life, pouring into you or directing you towards God and that relationship with Jesus? What were those, if you will, change agents or those people that helped influence you to follow Jesus?
Well, Mark, I grew up in a traditional Christian home. But I didn't really come to a real intimate relationship with God until I was 22. After seeking to get on the PGA Tour as a professional golfer, I went to school on a golf scholarship, and that was my goal in life. And when I didn't meet that goal, that was my crisis event that really led me to Christ. I began to grow in Christ dramatically and never looked back, and God just began to do a deep work in my life. And I've never had a season where I backslid or anything. I've just been full throttle ever since. But God's used a lot of adversity to move me into new places that I've gone and the things that he's moved me into.
In case you just tuned in, I have Oz Hillman on the phone with me. He is an author of a number of books, but we're featuring today's book called Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to Be the One Who Makes a Difference. I've loved this book. I've marked it all up. I'm looking at the various pages, and I like how at the back of each of the chapters you have questions for reflection, so you kind of really can take it to heart or pray it through. Lord, what should I learn through this chapter? What are some of the takeaway points? How can you refine me through what I've just learned? And if you were going to have your prayers answered, according to, like, you wrote this book, but you were going to have your prayers answered for what the reader should take away from this book, what would that be?
I find that a lot of people are hindered by maybe some of the wounds they've had in their own lives growing up. You know, I like to say in the book that both God and Satan want you dead, but for different reasons. You know, Satan wants to kill your destiny. It says in John 10:10 that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, but God wants to kill our flesh so that we can really live for Christ fully. And I think many times we get stuck in that process and don't realize that God is there and that the love of God. I had to discover anew the love of the Father because I lost my dad when I was 14 years old in a plane crash. And so I had certain issues that I had to walk through. And I find that many people today have not wrestled some of those, quote, demons that keep them from entering into a deeper relationship and being able to influence those around them and to be able to see God's activity in their life. You know, we've struggled for decades with this idea of segmenting our work life from our faith life. And, of course, I've been preaching that one for 20 years, helping people see that it's all one and the same. It's just, as you and I were talking, it's just where you get your check. But we're all in ministry. And so it's about really manifesting the Lord's presence in the area of our calling.
That's one of the reasons I so loved the book. It was like a refresher course in some of the things the Lord taught me back in 1986 at an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship conference that was called Christians in the Marketplace. And so many years we've always been taught that the full-time Christian ministers are the pastor, are the missionaries, and kind of the rest of us have a role, but we kind of fund them and do our own thing and return to church on Sunday and get equipped. But this conference really opened my eyes to, no, we're change agents where God has placed us. It might be in the marketplace. It might be, as the example you gave, that young Down syndrome man in the store, or it could be with our neighbors on the golf course, or just wherever we're at, we're pressing kingdom influence, power, and authority. We can be those change agents, those active agents being used of God, but we have to be attentive to His leading. We have to allow Him to work in and through us. We have to surrender to His will, and we have to kind of take the time to really relish, okay, Lord, how can I walk in cadence with Your Spirit's leading today, even when I'm doing the mundane or doing the, you know, the spectacular, if you will?
Well, that's right. You know, transform people, you know. So it's all about Romans 12, you know. He says, you know, the heart has to be transformed. Until we have that encounter with the living God and we really know the Lord personally and we experience His activity in our life, then it's really the fruit of that. In fact, you know, when we talk about culture change, which we unpack a lot in this book, so many people have a goal to change culture. What I say is culture change is really a fruit versus a goal. It's about loving the Lord with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. And you begin to solve people's problems. And as you solve people's problems, you begin to have influence in their life as a byproduct. And that's what Jesus did. You know, He had encounters with people every day in the marketplace. That's where He was. He didn't hang out in the synagogue as much as He hung out in the marketplace where the people were. And I think that's a great model for us.
You state in your book, and I have never read this before, and you just referenced it a little, influence, but you call it influence capital. Talk a little about that.
Well, I think we all have certain types of capital. You know, we think about, okay, if you have money, you have a certain amount of capital to use for certain things. Well, we also have influence capital. In other words, I have influence in certain areas that I can use for a very redemptive and positive cause. And I think that some people, like Joseph, when Joseph got elevated, he wasn't necessarily wealthy. He had access to it, but he had more influence because of the position he was in. And sometimes God puts us in positions to be able to have that kind of influence, and I call it influence capital.
I love also, and this is where I'm kind of reaching out to our radio listeners, because I don't think it's by chance you're tuned in this morning. You're hearing me talk with Oz Hillman, the author of Change Agent and a number of other books. He's very involved in ministry. In fact, you can learn more by going to marketplaceleaders.org. It's the website, www.marketplaceleaders.org. But Oz, you talk about that each of us was created to solve a problem, and I love that because God has created all of us with purpose, with meaning. None of us exist because we just evolved from primordial slime and we just happen to be existing on this earth. God really has designed us for a relationship with Him, but He's given us maybe some specific things to solve or expertise in certain areas that He wants to work in and through us. And I think you kind of talk about how He's created us to solve problems.
Absolutely. And that's what I began to see when I began to study these people in the scriptures. All of them solved some type of problem for other people. You know, Moses solved the problem of slavery for the Egyptians. David solved the problem about Goliath. Jesus solved the salvation problem. Paul solved the problem for salvation for the Gentiles. Joseph saved a nation. And you look at different people, they all solve some type of problem. And what I realized is that in Deuteronomy, you know, God was speaking to the Israelites. He says, you know, I desire that you be the head, not the tail. But it's not by legislating or controlling the culture. It's by loving the culture and serving the people in the culture. And as a result, you will have influence. And that's what I began to see. I love this, the quote, I have a quote in there from Lauren Cunningham that I really liked. He said, use your authority and you will lose your influence, but use your influence and you will gain authority. So the idea of serving people and serving the culture is a great example of that.
Now, what would you say to the listener, the individual that's scanning their dial and they're like, but Oz, you don't know my circumstances. I'm not well educated. I don't have the gifts of the evangelist or that person that's the leader. I just feel like I'm just behind the scenes and I can't see myself as a change agent, as somebody that's going to be used mightily of God. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that when we talk about, Jesus said that in order to be a follower of his, you have to be a servant of all. And it's interesting that it was the servants who saw the very first miracle, okay? Mm-hmm. Jesus turns water into wine. The guests didn't see that. It was the servants. And I like to think that those who begin to think about how they can serve other people, they begin to see what that does. When you act with a humility and serving other people with no motive for your own benefit, I mean, you stand out.
Yeah,
and that's a very simple way of having influence.
And oftentimes that biblical model, if we're just faithful with that little, and so you don't have to have those super gifts like Billy Graham and other fantastic speakers or those out in the limelight or on the in the center stage because they're doing great things from God. Oftentimes it might be that caring word that the mom says to her children or just maybe a simple task of helping the neighbor and he just is struck by your love or your care, your passion, and it really influences him to say, you know, I'm going to entertain the idea that maybe there is a loving God just by the warm or the consideration or the compassion expressed through that individual.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it's really important that we just get to the basics.
Well, speaking of the basics, I love your chapter 6, and I know our time is a little short here, but I would love to have you take us through those 6 changes and the process of a change agent, and you list them kind of divine circumstances, character development, an isolation period, personal cross, problem solvers, and networks. Do you mind spending a little time maybe walking us through those 6 stages?
Absolutely. You know, Mark, as I was looking and studying the change agents, I saw these 6 unique stages God uses to raise up his change agents, and they were consistent to every person I looked at, and I had personally walked through them, and as I shared them in my speaking times with other people, they all see that as well if they've been around a little while. But the first one is recruitment. God allows us to enter into our larger story often through a door of adversity or crisis. You know, we see that in David with Goliath and Paul being blinded on the Damascus Road, Martin Luther, you know, struggling with his faith. And then the second stage is character development. God always takes the change agent through a season of character development. Joseph with his 13 years, the Apostle Paul, the disciples, you see all of the characters in the scripture that had a season of character development. And then 3 is isolation. And you might wonder about that one. Well, you know, Moses had his 40 years in Midian desert, and David in the cave of Adullam, John on the island of Patmos, Joseph his 13 years of imprisonment, and you could go on and on. And then the 4th is the cross phase, and often the cross phase is the place where God takes you through a betrayal. And that's what I call graduate level Christianity. If you're called to leadership, Jesus wants to find out if you're willing to wash the feet of your Judas. And that can be very painful, and that brings you really to the end of yourself if you pass that test. And then fifth is more the fruit-bearing stage of the call, and that is the problem-solving stage where, you know, Jesus solved the problem of salvation, David solved the problem with Goliath, and Joseph solved the problem of a nation, starving nation. And so you go through and look at all these people, and they solve some type of problem. And then number six is networks. God often works through networks, and Jesus had his disciples. William Wilberforce had the Clapham Group. Nehemiah had his, and Daniel had his three friends. God wants to leverage what we do through others, and we're much more effective. Plus, he wants John 17:23 to be realized in our life about being one. He really instructs us to model that.
Well, thank you, Oz, for sharing. I think your book, Change Agent, is a must-read for so many Christians as it can help them engage their passion and realize that they can make a difference. Because as Christians, we are called to be change agents. And I think with us being changed by God, then we can be people that change society and culture. So thank you for being available. And keep us posted on your other books, too. I absolutely loved and benefited by reading this book called Change Agent.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me on. And just an FYI, we also have set up a 20-session video course on the book, and you can find information there at changeagentvideocourse.com.
Well, thanks for being available, and I hope to stay in touch.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. God bless.
Well, I hope you were blessed by that interview. I've certainly enjoyed reading the book, Change Agent. As many of you know, the workplace is the training ground for most of us. It's the place where we deal with everyday challenges of life, but it is also where God wants to reveal His glory so that the world might know that He is God. For most of us, we will have many jobs before we fulfill God's ultimate work for our lives. So maybe as you head into work, to your vocation, your hobby, whatever errands you're running, draw near to God, allow Him to work in and through you, and be that change agent. You can find out more about this book by going to changeagentbook.com, changeagentbook.com, or stop by marketplaceleaders.org, marketplaceleaders.org. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.